Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
The Burnham Block building, located on National Avenue in the Walker's Point neighborhood, is remarkable for its place in Cream City brick history. While Milwaukee is known as the Cream City for its use of this brick, the building has an especially close connection to it, both in its use of the brick and its connection to one of the brick's earliest purveyors. In our series, What Milwaukee is Made Of, we explore the geological origins of Milwaukee's building materials with geologist and author Raymond Wiggers. He joins Lake Effect Sam Woods to share Cream City Brick's geological origins.
Where and when did the materials that make up Cream City Brick originate?
Well, Sam, they originated in two different geologic epochs, one right after the other. The first was the later Pleistocene epoch, which was the Great Ice Age. So we're talking roughly 25 to about 12,500 years ago, something like that. But also some of this material was probably deposited later by local streams in what we call the Holocene epoch, which is our current geologic epoch. Unlike a lot of the building stone you see in town, this brick is relatively youthful in its origins. The source materials that it comes from, the clay I already mentioned, and also the silt, which is mixed in with some of the clay, was deposited in three different ways in the Milwaukee area. One by the glacier, the Pleistocene glacier coming down, the Wisconsin ice sheet coming down from the north and dumping a lot of material, clay, rocks, pebbles, everything, in the Milwaukee area. Also streams, especially the meltwater streams that flowed down from the glacier as it melted, deposited huge beds of clay and silt and other sediments along the riverfront of the three different rivers. And then on top of that, you have different times in the last few thousand years when Lake Michigan has been a lot higher than it is now. And if it actually invaded some of the river valleys up and actually flooded some of those areas and low-lying areas around Milwaukee County, a lot of that fine sediment would settle down to the bottom of the lake. So in some places, for example, south of the Menominee River, not far from Burnham Block, you actually have places where that clay is over 100 feet thick. So there was a lot of the stuff to use.
So did Ice Age glaciers pull this material from elsewhere and deposit it in the Milwaukee area, or was this material always here?
That's a very good question. Actually, it came from somewhere else. It's from far away. In fact, geologists have a very, very fancy term, which I'm going to spring on you and your audience. These materials were alachthonous, which means they came from somewhere far away. And clay is basically ground up rock matter that has been ground up or has been reduced to very, very tiny, tiny, tiny sub-visible sizes. And this came from our local bedrock farther north, the Silurian dolostone. It may have come from granitic rocks and other types of igneous rocks or metamorphic rocks way up in the Canadian Shield. So the clay, I talk about it being young in the sense that it was deposited in its current form in Milwaukee just a few tens of thousands of years ago, but actually it comes from much, much more ancient material originally, as everything does on the earth.
So these materials were pulled in from elsewhere by glaciers, deposited in Milwaukee riverbeds, but have these materials changed in, I guess, either substance or appearance after the glaciers left?
I don't think very much. I think a lot of these sediments were buried in different layers or beds and were actually covered up by stuff above them. So I think the clay that you would have dug out of the ground in a Milwaukee clay pit, say in the 1870s when the Burnham Block was built, would have looked probably pretty much the way it looked when it was deposited.
So what makes Cream City brick distinctive is its color, its pale yellow color, whereas most bricks, when they're fired and used as a building material, are red or brown. But what gives Cream City brick its pale yellow color? Does that have any kind of geological connection?
It sure does. In fact, what thing that makes Cream City brick so distinctive, when you see it on the side of a building, is the fact that it has a very weird geochemistry or a chemical makeup to it. So most brick has a lot of clays that most brick come from. For example, the Philadelphia, the beautiful red Philadelphia brick you see on some Milwaukee buildings downtown, that brick had originally a lot of iron in it. And the iron, when it was heated in the kiln, it oxidized to that beautiful red color. And our local clays, the Cream City clays, actually have that iron also in about the same amount, but they also have a huge amount of calcium and magnesium. And it turns out when you burn that along with the iron, especially if you pump up the temperature a little bit higher, which is what Milwaukee brick makers generally did, what you get is this beautiful, weird, sort of pale yellow color, which is quite rare. You see it in some other bricks, but it's quite rare. And it's because there was all that calcium and magnesium. So where did that stuff come from? Well, it came from our local bedrock, the Silurian dolostone that we talked about with the Pfister Hotel last time. That has a lot of calcium and magnesium in it. So probably some of that eventually worked its way into the particles that became the clay.
So moving more into the human history of Cream City brick, when did Cream City brick begin to be used as a building material?
Well, as far as I've been able to discover just researching it, is probably the earliest brickyard in Milwaukee or the Milwaukee County area opened in around 1835. And it was run by the Olin brothers, O-L-I-N brothers. And they were located, their clay pit and their brick making facility was located at the intersection of Water and Clyburn downtown. And if anyone knows their architecture of downtown Milwaukee, that's where the Button Block, a very famous, beautiful building, is located now. So that was the first. And then thereafter, a number of different brickyards opened along all three of the river valleys of Milwaukee County.
Why was Cream City brick chosen, or why was the sediment chosen as a building material?
Economics, primarily. Also aesthetics. You know, people realized when they started making this brick that it was very distinctive and it made Milwaukee architecture very distinctive. But I think the bottom line is always is the economics. You can always, especially when you're dealing with building materials, which tend to be kind of heavy or very, very heavy, the closer they are to the building site when they're made, the cheaper they'll be when you actually put up the building. And that worked for Milwaukee and Cream City brick for the first, 80 or 90 years of its existence. But eventually, believe it or not, Chicago and Chicago common brick actually outpriced locally created Milwaukee brick. That was one of the reasons that Cream City brick eventually declined as a business, simply because Chicago outcompeted it.
Yeah, we'll get more to why Cream City brick fell out of favor in a minute, but I wanted to turn to John Burnham, the namesake of the Burnham Block building. Who is John Burnham?
John Burnham, first of all, I'm going to point out that Burnham is a very interesting name in architecture, in Milwaukee architecture, in Midwestern architecture, because there are a number of famous Burnhams. One of them, if I may mention him very, very briefly, is Daniel Burnham, who is a famous Chicago architect who designed, among other things, Milwaukee's first national bank building, which is still standing along the Milwaukee River, beautiful building. But for Milwaukee, the really big Burnham name was the Burnham family that created the big, they had the largest brick making operations later in the 19th century. And the family sort of split the business in two. And John Burnham was one of the big business interests for the brick making. And so the Burnham block was built of his own brick from his own clay pits, from his own kilns to create the Burnham block.
So what was the original intended use of the Burnham Block building when it was constructed in 1875?
It was considered to be, I don't know if you'd say it was sort of an original mini strip mall or what you'd call it, because it was a multi-use commercial building. So whatever Burnham could get people to use it for, he would let them use it for that. It had a dance hall or meeting hall up above, and it had commercial space down below. So it was considered to be a multi-use commercial unit, even from when it was built in 1875.
So now getting back to taste and aesthetics when it comes to bricks, why did Cream City brick fall out of favor in Milwaukee and elsewhere?
Well, to answer that question, I guess you've got to ask why anything falls out of favor when it comes to style or fashion. Tastes change over time. And if one generation thinks beautiful pale yellow brick looks really neat on buildings, the next generation will decide it doesn't, and they'll want to try some other color or style or material or whatever. And boy, do you see this in architecture all the time. Just one passing tide of style after another. And one of the things I think, too, that harmed Cream City Brick, because it's very light colored, when it does get sooty or when it does get a little bit dirty, it does look, to some people's eye, rather dismal looking. Personally, I like it, but some people didn't like it.
Well, as you alluded to, some Cream City Brick buildings look pristine, they sparkle in the sunlight, while others look a little more weathered, a little more dirty, a little more sooty. Why do some Cream City Brick buildings like Burnham Block have that weathered, sooty look to them?
I think older buildings that have that pristine look to them have been cleaned very thoroughly or have been restored in some respect. The Keenan Townhouse, which went through a very disastrous fire in the 1980s, was restored, and now it looks just brand spanking new in terms of its light colored brick. But most of the buildings in Milwaukee that haven't had that kind of restoration have gone through what we call the age of fossil fuel burning and lots of, you know, fossil fuel soot in the air. And probably a lot of the stuff you see on the Burnham Block and other buildings, Cream City buildings now, probably a lot of that was precipitated before the passing of the Clean Air Act, which started in the 1970, and then there were other provisions that came in later. But as an older person, I remember the air of the early 1960s, and it really was a different thing to breathe. And you see that on Milwaukee buildings. Now, I happen to be a bit of a heretic, because not only do I like clean, pristine Milwaukee brick, where you really show off the original color, I like that. But I also like the sooty stuff too. And sometimes the sootier, the better. So I think it adds character.
Yeah, I think you're right. It adds character. It adds another layer of history to a building and to a building material that has a story dating back 25,000 years, as you mentioned at the beginning. So on that note, thank you, Ray, so much for joining me on Lake Effect and for telling the story of Cream City Brick.
Thank you very much. It's been great, Sam.
Raymond Wiggers is a geologist and author of Milwaukee in Stone and Clay. He spoke with Lake Effect Sam Woods for our series, What Milwaukee is Made Of. You can find previous episodes and more of this conversation at WUWM.com.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting WUWM.com/Lake Effect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.